What is up, Dolphin fans? Welcome to another Dolphin Collective. Yes, we got a lot to talk about, especially about Aaron Brewer's new contract. I don't think the details are out yet, but we know what he is making fully guaranteed, and so we know where he's kind of ranked there. So we're going to talk about all that stuff. Before, shout out to the sponsor, Prize Picks. You play $5, you use that promo code, you get it $50 instantly. As well as shout out to everyone who subscribed. We are growing and growing. We are at 14,000, a little over 100. And if you are new, you can hit that join button next to the subscribe button. So Aaron Brewer gets a new contract, 3 years, $52.5 million, $37 million total guaranteed. We don't know the breakdown of it. Don't know how much he's getting.
3 year extension.
Yes.
3 year extension, which means it's probably a 4 year deal with probably the same figures. Remember that they gave him most of his signing bonus already previously. They gave him most of his 2026 salary, all but $1 million in bonuses. So that's factored into the deals. It's not free money. So, we don't know the full details of the contract. So you don't all only thing that I would say is safe to assume is accurate is the guaranteed money. And then we got.
He's making as much sense breaking up as he did when he was talking normal. Oh, sorry, Omar. Hi, Omar. You and that damn thing about the deal. It's the extension that's 3 years and 52.5 million. Nobody's talking about the totality of the deal. It's the extension.
Ranking wise, his total guaranteed. His total guaranteed.
What is the full? What is the full? What is the full yet length of the deal? And what is the full terms of the deal? Is do you know the answers to that, Pupar?
It's a new deal, Kelly.
And you didn't answer the question. You did not answer the question. Do you know the length of the? Do you know how many years is the deal?
Yeah. Hold on while I do the calculations of what was left on the contract with the 1 year, and I'll get back to you as you walk around whatever area you're in.
Don't be jealous. I'm on a field trip.
You always have to do this. I did my field trips many, many times.
I know your son will take you on a field trip now. You don't have to be mad.
Anyway, so when it comes to total guaranteed, Aaron Brewer is fourth ranked with that 37 total guaranteed on this new contract. Do you guys think that's a fair? What do you guys think of the contract details that are out? Do you think it's a fair deal for Brewer? We'll start with Alan.
Yeah, I mean, again, regardless of where exactly we put Brewer in the hierarchy of centers, let's say I think we all agree he's probably top five. Mm. He is now in the top five in terms of annual average for the extension, Omar, before you jump in with your never-ending talking point. And in terms of the guaranteed money, so, and he didn't come close as he shouldn't have to that stupid contract the Raiders gave to Tyler Linderbaum, which to me was always the concern that Brewer's agent was going to be like, I'm just as good as Tyler Linderbaum, or Aaron's just as good as Tyler Linderbaum, which he was last year if you go by the All-Pro vote and by Pro Football Focus. But that was an out of whack contract, and the Dolphins were able to get Brewer on the, and Brewer has no reason not to be happy with the deal. It's really, really good money. Not that it should be, it should factor in. Remember, this was a guy who entered the NFL as an undrafted free agent. Mm. Very, very well for himself. It's a guy who is a foundational piece for the Dolphins, leader of the offensive line. So to me, if Brewer was going to be happy with the money he got, good deal all around.
TD.
Yeah, these are the guys that I'm most excited about. Started from the bottom, now we're here. You know, he's earned his way to this point in his career, and the money is right on cue. I think that it's fair, and I think both sides kind of win here. They locked their guy down to protect Malik Willis. They already had chemistry dating back to Tennessee. Now they can continue that. And I just think that Brewer is a top three center in the NFL. We got a dog, a former All-Pro, one of the better players on the team. And this is what I'm talking about. This team actually has a lot more talent than people want to recognize. But Brewer, I just say congratulations. This is what I'm talking about. He's humble. You know, he's not out here show me the money. You know, so I love it.
Yeah, I definitely think, you know, I'm happy he got the contract. Obviously, we don't know what the details are, where the out is, you know, how it breaks down year to year. You know, we see that it is 17.5 average a year, but that doesn't mean necessarily he's making that 17.5 average a year. But
do raise your hand if you believe it's 17.5 average a year. No. Raise your hand.
My God, it's just tiring every single time we talk about a contract that you have to do this. Every single solitary.
I'm talking facts.
We get
okay,
it.
Omar, if we're talking facts, it's about $14 million per year.
Yes, thank you. 13 and a half, 14. Thank you. So don't report incorrect information.
Mm-hmm. 17 that's on my, the extension.
Thank you, TD.
Nobody cares about it. If you give me an extension on
the only one who doesn't care about the extension and keeps going back to the totality of the contract, including the 1 year he had left. You're the only one who gives a crap about that, who keeps mentioning it. And my word is a ghetto. I'm sorry. I feel better now.
Can't be real.
So if you're telling people that he's making $17 million a year, which he's not.
Nobody is saying that.
You said that. When you give out the fake figure, you're saying that. You're saying he's making $17 million a year. Same thing when you said Tua was making $54 million a year. That wasn't what he was making. But if you report out incorrect information, which is my consistent point, then people are going to parrot the incorrect information. Brewer is not making $17.5 million a year. So don't say he's making $17.5
million. He will for the last 3 years of the contract, the extension.
He's not going to even get the last 3 years of the contract.
And I finish. If he does fulfill the 3 years of the extension, that extension is what it's going to be. That's what it's going to be worth. Okay. Again.
And he's going to fulfill it because he's that good.
Is he going to fulfill the last 3 years of the contract?
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
We'll find out.
I think we lost Omar on his field trip.
He's finally given up on that talking point of his. It's like, my word.
Oh, he's back. He's back.
What does the Dolphins' history of the contracts tell you?
This is a new regime, so we don't know.
Okay.
We don't know.
All right.
I don't even remember what I was saying. But anyway, I do think it's worth it. I do think he's played at a top center level the past two seasons. So to me, I think he's worth it. But again, we need to see where he is at when it comes to the breakdown of the contract that we'll probably know sometime next week. Go ahead, TD.
Did y'all think anything was interesting about the fact that his co-offensive linemen all showed up for the signing except one?
I was going to bring that up. Austin Jackson was the only guy in that picture.
Maybe Austin was getting treatment.
Or maybe Austin was like, you asked me to take a pay cut to come back, and I'm supposed to be here celebrating a guy getting his new deal? Yeah, no thanks.
I don't think they asked him.
Austin's not that type of character.
I don't think they asked him.
I agree with you that Austin's a mellow dude that like that. Still, I'm sorry, but sorry.
I think that's the future of the offensive line in that picture.
See, I think y'all are reading too much into, yes, it is the future of the offensive line, but you're reading too much into one guy. What about the rest of the teammates? Where was the backup center? Where was everybody else? Only starters were allowed?
That picture?
Only the unit, only the wall.
Mm-hmm. New unicorns.
All right.
Although, why was Jonah out there? I'm sorry.
You would tell us the offseason when we're sitting here hashing whether or not Austin Jackson was boycotting a picture of celebrating. I have experienced players not celebrating another guy's contract.
Correct. It's not boycotting as opposed to don't ask me to partake. in celebrating somebody else's contract when you asked me to take a pay cut. I think that's human
nature. Yeah, you gave me the money too and took it away.
That doesn't make Austin a bad guy. I mean, to me, that's the normal reaction, and chances are that'd have been the same way.
I think we're making too much of it, but I think Austin will do his speaking when he's on the field, if he's ever on the field.
I also think that's probably why he wasn't in the picture either. Because, you know, it's a little telling when Halfley came out and said, you know, he's got to stay healthy. Like, when they said that about Austin Jackson, you're just like,
oh.
They also said Jonah sucked and needs to play better.
Like, and then they moved him to his side.
Yeah, they say a lot of things. They didn't praise Patrick Paul either. You haven't heard them praise Patrick Paul one time.
He's doing his thing. I have a feeling in my bones. They don't have pads on. We don't know anything right now.
Man, we got a top five O-line right now.
But
man,
that picture, yes, it's probably nothing. But also, it's very telling that you have guys on there that are going to be on this team for at least two more years, and then you have Austin Jackson, who's most likely not going to be on the team next year. It's very telling that those are the four.
Is there a way that Austin Jackson can earn himself another contract, or regardless of how he played, he's gone next year?
I'm sure there's a way he can earn himself another contract. He's not going to be getting paid $13 million a year, but Austin's about a $6 million a year player if he stays healthy, $6, $7 million a year player if he stays healthy. Offensive tackles are hard to find, not even just starters, backups. Like, does the offense have a good backup offensive tackle?
No. But he's definitely a starter, just a low-end starter, right?
Yeah, but my point is, he's not going, and that's why I would have let them cut me, even though he's probably not healthy. I would have let them cut me. And maybe he has injury protection on it. I don't know what his deal is. His deal's been touched like two or three times already. So I have no idea what it looks like. I'm sure Austin chose to stick around here, and he knows he's in a critical situation where he has to play, and he has to play at a high level, or else he's going to be an NFL backup the rest of his career.
Do you think if Austin didn't get hurt, he would stay? Or do you think Austin would go if he didn't get hurt? Like, do you think that's kind of why he's like, where am I going to go? I'll take the pay cut. I'm kind of dealing with an injury, and then we'll go from there.
Well, he couldn't take the pay cut because he couldn't not take the pay cut. I'm going to guess in his eyes, because the market for him probably wouldn't be great because of the injury history.
Yes, and the fact that his foot is not healed now.
Mm-hmm. Correct. He would have a hell of a lot more leverage, you know, if he wasn't an injury-prone player. And that's where he doesn't have right now. That's what he's not going to have in 2027 next spring, unless he has a season where he puts good film out there and stays in the lineup.
That's a very good point. Very good point. TD's trying. There's TD. Yeah, let's remove this one. There we go. Yeah, so it's going to be interesting. We'll talk more. I think we should do, in the next couple of weeks, we should do like camp battles and talk about each position and who we think where in that. But
what camp battles?
exactly. But the next thing we should talk about, because Devon Achan, you know, a pillar of this team, Aaron Brewer, a pillar of this team, Jordan Brooks, a pillar of this team, is he next? We've talked about this time and time again, but every one of the guys that Sullivan talked about being a pillar of this team has gotten paid except for Jordan Brooks. Is he next? Or do you guys see him getting traded at all? Like, say he's like, no, I don't want that contract. And then we're like a couple weeks before the start of the season. Do you see them being like, look, you know, and trade him, Alan?
If they reach an impasse where clearly Jordan Brooks, for his representation, wants significantly more than the Dolphins are willing to pay, then yeah. Because again, it's his contract.
I lose my sound.
No, there's a lot of sound there, Omar, actually. I don't know if you're where you are, Power Jungle or Power
Island. He's at Jurassic
Park. I can't hear Alan.
Okay.
Am I alone?
That's a you problem.
No, you're here, but you're loud.
Okay. But I'm loud?
Yeah, we can hear the kids and everything in the background.
I have no idea. The kids are so far.
Get Alan, keep going.
Okay, let's get back to some football topic here. Because as I mentioned before, the Dolphins logically are going to be in a situation next offseason where they're going to sign more compensatory free agents, guys who make a decent amount of money, then they're going to lose. Well, I don't know that they're going to put themselves in the position of saying, well, it's okay if we lose Jordan Brooks in the 2027 offseason because we'll get a comp pick, because I don't know that that's going to happen. Well, if the Dolphins reach a point where we're never going to see eye to eye on what the fair value is, then at that point, it might behoove them to say, okay, let's see what we can get for him in the trade. But I do think the preference would be to sign him to an extension. Yeah. And then Omar can come back on and talk about how it's bogus money because we should be talking about the totality of the deal. Omar can't hear me because he didn't have any reaction.
Can you hear us, Omar?
No.
I told you.
I couldn't hear
you. Can't hear us at all.
I should try
to. I could hear you, Doug. I couldn't hear Poupard. Now I can hear Poupard.
Okay. Essentially, he was talking about, you know, what we talked about earlier this week. If we keep losing TD, essentially, how, you know, should we let him go? Is there a way to get a comp pick? We're losing both of them. It's just me and you, Alan.
Yep.
But what's up? Should we just let Omar? We're gonna do this. It's gonna be the three of us. TD, can you hear us? Can you hear us, TD?
What is going on with the audio? I can hear you fine.
TD's in space. Anyway, me and you, Alan, right now. TD, when you get it situated.
This is where we should talk about how much Malik Willis sucks and it was a mistake. And you'll see no reaction from TD, and that'll be the first time ever. Or I could say he sent it straight to the Hall of Fame and we won't see TD having this. It's weird.
I'm just texting Omar to go have fun. We're good. TD, if you think – oh, I was going to say that. I was going to say, TD, if you don't think Malik is going to do good, don't make a face. Wow, that's telling. You heard it here first, guys.
Now we have the unfiltered truth. TD is not a big Malik Willis fan. Well, he's so embarrassed by the turnaround he had to do that he left.
But yeah, I agree with your point that essentially, until TD comes back, we'll just do this. That essentially, yeah, you know, they'll try and get a contract done because it's kind of goes back to the Devon Achan situation, me personally, where I said, you know, if we can get a contract done, I'm excited because Devon Achan is a great player. If not, I could see them getting something for him. It's the same thing with Brooks. You know, if they can get something for Brooks, then cool. But I'd love to keep him. I would definitely love to keep Brooks, but you know,
they have the financial wiggle room to make things happen. And they did before actually, because his contract is one of the few that the Dolphins didn't touch.
Yeah.
They left it at 10.8 at the cap space, and most of it is base salary. So they easily could have converted base salary into signing bonus to lower the cap number. So I think the only reason it hasn't gotten done, logic would tell us, is that his representation wants more than the Dolphins are willing to give up right now. And this is always, that's nothing new since the beginning of time. You know, player starts here, the team starts here. And then hopefully
they closer. Yeah. Do you think they would touch for Brooks? Like say they give him an extension. Do you think they touch that 10 million or are they just good where they're at right now? Cap space wise, because right now they're sitting at 12.3 and I'm assuming Brewer's money isn't going to go up or down or anything like that.
It's going to go up probably a little bit because here's the thing. Usually every contract will include some sort of signing bonus. HN got a very small signing bonus. Mm-hmm. Most of his guarantees in the form of salary. He got $4.3 million over 5 years. So you tacked on $860,000 per year, which is why the Dolphins were able to get that extension done without making any other move, despite the fact they had less than $2 million of cap space.
Mm-hmm.
With Brooks, again, logically, he's going to get a signing bonus. That's going to be prorated over several years. I think they might as well then convert some more salary and prorate it and lower his cap number a little bit. But even whatever cap space they have, Dolphins are not going out there and signing big name players to big money deals.
No.
That's just not how they've operated. And this whole AJ Epenesa thing is like,
whoop-de-doo.
I mean, I don't know. I'm anxious to see what he got from the Eagles. That $5 million he was going to get from the Browns, I'd have been floored if he got that from the Dolphins.
He probably got something like worth up to $5 million because, again, he had that injury, what, March when he went to the Browns and they failed his physical. So, you know, we'll see about that. Speaking of Brooks, though, I kind of want to touch upon Rodriguez.
Yep.
And, you know, TD has brought it up that, you know, they did draft a bunch of linebackers. Now, obviously, Rodriguez is the only guy who really right now could replace Brooks. From what you saw, now you can't say much, but from what you saw, how far is Rodriguez from replacing Brooks if he needed to?
We're not there yet. And here's the thing, of course, I'm going to say that, and I'm going to have some Dolphin fans going nuts. Didn't you see the highlight of the punch out? Yes, I saw it, and that's the only play that I noticed him making. I know there are others in the media who have praised his work, leading to a national writer suggesting he could be moving up the depth chart, which led me to go, I'm sorry, what? So to me, no, he did. He looked like a rookie who needed some work. That play was very, very impressive. It's what he did at Texas Tech throughout last year. But again, how many of those plays are going to balance out the times where you get beat, you know? Which is going to happen. It happens to every linebacker. So I don't know. I think my point is that at some point, Jacob Rodriguez could become a very, very good NFL linebacker. If we're looking for 2026, the notion that Jacob Rodriguez could come be anywhere near as good as Jordan Brooks is right now and was in 2025, I think that's a big stretch.
TD, we were talking about Rodriguez and, you know, where he could be at potentially replacing Brooks because, you know, we're in that purgatory of essentially, is Brooks going to get a contract? Is he going to get traded? I brought up that, you know, you talked about, I think on your own channel, the fact that we drafted multiple linebackers. Right now, what would you prefer? A Brooks extension or a Brooks trade?
I'm on the edge of go ahead and trade him and get what you can. Because, again, you know, I'm very optimistic about the season. My optimism says, hey, man, let's see what this looks like. Give me Brooks. But if I'm going to go with the masses and, you know, we're developing this team, I don't want to just waste his prime for 2 years while we're paying him. And then on the back end of it, when we're ready to compete, he's looking for more money or he's a shell of himself. You know, I think you've invested heavily in the position and you let these young guys get some shake and see what you have. Because when you think of it, we pay Brewer, you pay him, you're already digging into that extra money that you're supposed to have for the future. You know, so a lot of people not thinking about that as well. We're already digging into some of that. Yo, we're going to have money next year and the year after. We're already starting to dig into it. And if you think that this is a 2-year program to really be competing, then I never understand the purpose. I never understand the purpose of that, keeping a guy and paying him through a rebuild. But if you do trade Brooks, then stop playing games, man. Trade Zeeler. Trade Zach. Like, what's the purpose?
Well, you can't, but yeah, I feel you. Because you're going to
trade anybody. It's just a matter of taking a hit. But yeah, I mean, you're going to keep them at least one more year. But I'm leaning towards let these young guys go. But my optimistic excitement about the season, I want to see it on the field with those guys starting to ramp up and get acclimated.
Yeah, the Miami Dolphins, as of right now, have $108.1 million in cap space next year, but that does not calculate in what Brooks is going to be making. Brewer is going to be making next year. They did calculate in Devon Achane's $13.8 million. So, you know, we don't know, and the rookies, so we don't know.
And Doug, who's getting more money, Brewer or Brooks?
That's what's going to be interesting. Yeah,
that's a very good question.
Because this is fresh off of an All-Pro. At least Brewer was a year removed from being an All-Pro. But this is fresh off of being an All-Pro.
Bro, Brewer was an All-Pro last year, TD. He was a second-team All-Pro last year.
I thought it was the year before.
No. Dang, Brewer was second-team All-Pro, and Brooks was first-team All-Pro last year.
Oh, well, still. First team, in which position is more valuable? Most of the league covered linebackers a little more than centers. Some people even feel like, oh, you can go find a center. You know, I mean, when you think about it, the Dolphins have done very well at that position. Remember Connor Williams? He was one of the top centers when he was here in Miami, replaced by Brewer, top center. So they invested in it now. How do they feel about their linebacking core?
Very true. Very, very true. That's where, you know, I don't think – do you – here's a question. I got a question. Is it going to be like the Tua situation? Because with Tua, it was they were trying to get the contract. They were trying to get the contract. And then training camp started. He wasn't doing anything for the first week. They got the contract done. Do you see that happening with Brooks? Or do you think with Brooks, it's going to be a little bit longer of a process because he's not the quarterback? So they can, you know, he can sit in and they can have that rotation at linebacker.
They also have not painted themselves into a corner at linebacker now the way they did at quarterback in 2024. It was they got to the point where they basically in February, I think it was, Chris Greer with his words basically told you we're all in on Tua, which kind of gave them all the leverage, which is why then we started with the Holden and the Dolphins. Again, we're looking at Skylar Thompson and Mike White for a team that was coming off 11-6. That had, right or wrong, championship aspirations. So basic, tell me I'm wrong. I said wrong. Right or wrong. Okay.
Wrong.
Okay. But this year, again, they don't have championship aspirations. So the what's what I'm looking for? The
sure.
Yes, I'm sure. I'm going to go ahead and go out on a limb and say the organization itself does not have championship aspirations right now. What's at stake is not nearly as severe as it was in 2024, number one. Number two, they have an alternative, even if they have to, you know, speed up Jacob Rodriguez's, you know, progression in the NFL. Not a big deal.
Yeah.
I think the difference, there is another difference, too. There were still doubts about Tua after his good season. Some people are like, nah, we got to see it one more time, plus, you know – There ain't no doubts about Brooks. There ain't no questions, whether it's health, whether it's play. There is zero concern. So I don't think it's the same thing. I think that they're literally considering life without him and seeing what that's going to look like to the full extent before they pull the trigger. And I think training camp is going to come around and they're going to make that final determination potentially, unless they get a deal done in the next few weeks.
Mm.
Two quick points, if I may, is number one with Tua. I think the Dolphins, I think some of us in the media were like very clear about his limitations.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Dolphins organization in certain circles were like blinded by the success of the passing game and didn't quite realize what was going on. And then number two, Jordan Brooks, for as well as he played last year, didn't change the fact that he was part of a bad defense. So I'm going to say this as respectfully as I can and then duck away because I can see the pushback coming right away, is how much of a difference, as good a player as he is, does he truly make on a defense?
I agree, and that's why I kind of feel like, man, he earned his money. Go let him get that with another team. Not like...
Let somebody else give it to you.
You've earned your money. Hey, we use Chris Greer's line. He's earned the right.
He's earned the right to test free agency. Goodbye.
This is when you're supposed to use that. Not with the other guys that he screwed up with, man.
Jeez, not to Christian Wilkins or
Robert Hunt.
Robert, yeah. Andrew Van Ginkle, like, oh my God.
That was the big miss right there.
Yeah, that's too funny. But yeah, real quick, we'll just do a really quick shout out to the sponsor of Prize Picks. Go check them out. Super, super fun. Super easy to use daily fantasy app. You play $5, you get 50 instantly. I love using it. TD loves using it. Let me get TD back in there. We got the NBA Finals. What, game five is when? Sunday?
Game five is Saturday night. That's going to be a big one. It is in San Antonio. I believe the San Antonio Spurs will get it. They just had a major collapse that was ridiculously crazy. They stopped being aggressive and attacking the basket in the fourth quarter. But I keep telling y'all, man, go play $5, get $50 instantly. And when you get that $50 instantly in lineups, go with the stars, man. Brunson, Wimby, these guys are putting up points every game, man. So that's what I would ride with. It's been pretty safe for me and pretty good. And when you're watching the game, if any of them are struggling, you can go back in the Prize Picks and you can put in another one for the lower numbers that they project. So that's been doing pretty well because at the end of the game, they turn it up anyway. So again, check out Prize Picks, but make sure that you play responsibly. For those who can't play responsibly, I urge you utilize the resources on the site that may be able to help you with that, because that is very important to me and the channel in particular.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if the Knicks win it Saturday, just so New York doesn't burn to the ground.
They would want to win it at home. They would want to win it at home. Here's what I will tell you, Doug. Here's what I will tell you. If the Spurs win at home on Saturday night and they go back to New York and the Spurs, if you're a Spurs fan, do not go back to New York, especially if your team wins that night. Do not go back to New York because they out here assaulting people after games.
Seriously.
So
it's a game. It's a game. Like, geez, Louise. Would Miami get like that if the Dolphins won a Super Bowl? You think Miami would go crazy, or do you think they would just
be too occupied crying? Just all the pain of the year. Finally, I'm not going to lie. I'm sitting here watching New York Knicks fans get emotional and stuff. And I'm going to be honest, a vulnerable moment, collective. I start getting emotional because I start thinking about, what if the Dolphins just ever? And I'm just like, just give it to my heart one time, Miami. Just give it to my heart.
Shout out to Richie. If you guys don't know, he's part he's Jets Media, which is part of the Roundtable Sports. He also covers the Knicks with Knicks Media. And he's been live streaming, and shout out to him, man. He deserves at least one championship because we all know the Jets ain't giving him a championship anytime soon. Let's talk more about the Miami Dolphins. Could you guys see? So the prompt in here is vets who could potentially be moved. I don't think any vets are going to be moved. He's the only one. They can't move Sealer because they'll have to eat $11 million in cap space. So it's and then they need vets. Unless it comes down to, they're ready to make cuts. Do they, if Tutu is still not where he could be as a starter, is that a possibility where they trade like a Tutu Atwell, a Jalen Tolbert, any of these guys? But could you see that happening, Alan?
If you're trading one of those guys because they're not cutting it with the Dolphins who don't have like elite wide receivers, why would anybody take them?
Yeah.
I think Brooks potentially could be on the move. Outside of that, could Austin Jackson? The finances don't make any sense, and what are you going to get for him? I don't see anybody else really.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is the unit of concern. Now, obviously, we will learn more when training camp comes, when they have the pads on, when they have joint practices and stuff. Because you like, what do you see really that you can tell us from the offense and defensive line with no pads on? Are they really making contact?
I mean, there is some contact. Pardon me. And what happens is you have particularly your edge defenders will get off the ball really, really quickly. But then where your offensive lineman normally would punch hard back or maybe do a little grabbing, you get the tangle over there. You don't necessarily get that. So those drills generally favor the defensive lineman, which is why when we say that Chop looked really, really good in the spring, and he did, it's with an asterisk. And there's also no run. There are no pads. There's no running or very, very little running. And it's like basically more about positioning and then using your technique with your hands, but it's really not the same thing. And the coaches are very, very quick to point that out. That's like, guys, there's no pads. And so
if you had to pick an area of concern from what you saw from OTAs and minicamp, what would your biggest area of concern be?
How much time do we have? Backup running back. I'm not sure. I'm terribly thrilled with it. Although I think Ali looked pretty good though. There's nobody special at wide receiver. I think the offensive line. I think that the offensive line has good potential. I don't know about top five TD, but it has good potential. Pass rush is a major concern. Pardon me. Pass rush is a major concern. I think cornerback could be okay. And even though I've liked Trader's work in the spring very much, I still question the safety position overall.
TD, Ken.
I have a question for Alan. Okay. I understand that I've been very bullish and optimistic. I want to throw that in the trash for a second, okay? You've been fair, Alan, okay? Mm-hmm. So this is an important question for me and many viewers, okay? Malik Willis, looking at him in OTAs, does he make you excited about his possible potential?
You know, I already said that. Yes, very much so. I'm like,
I just wanted to hear it.
his athletic skill set is on such a higher plane than what I've seen for the past, going back, I mean, decades. That I'm very, very, very anxious to see what it looks like again when training camp, when pads are on, preseason and regular season. And I am optimistic that he could be a really good quarterback. I'm not like you prepared to say he's going to be top 10, but I'm very, very excited to see what he can do.
Yeah, I would say not see him either. Top three.
Did you see Colin Cowherd even is a huge fan of Malik Willis and thinks that he is going to be very good for the Miami Dolphins? He doesn't think that he's going to put up big numbers because he doesn't like the weapons that are around Malik, but he does like Malik a lot. And Colin Cowherd, though, take what he says with a grain of salt, because that man said he wouldn't draft. I did a video today. He said he wouldn't draft Derrick Henry. He said that Josh Rosen and Sam Darnold were the best quarterbacks of that draft taken. He said, when Adam Gase signed with the Jets, get your Super Bowl tickets. He's taking them to the Super Bowl. It's like there's like a long Caleb Williams is going to pull an Eli Manning and not go to the Bears. Like there's just like a laundry list. And that's just NFL.
I will say this, though. Unless you study or are around Josh Rosen for a while, it's easy to fall in love with him at first glance when you watch him. Because I remember like his first practices, I was like, man, that dude can spin it. And then you get the preseason game where he's in the pocket and looks like he's clueless as to what's going on. And then you do some research and you hear about work habits and practice habits that are, let's just say, less than desirable. And then you understand why his career never panned out.
So
he had the arm. He just didn't have anything else, really.
Sorry?
He had the arm. He just didn't really have anything else.
He could move. He could move a little bit, and he had like a big arm, but it was no processing, and again, not willing to put in the work.
So what about Quinn Ewers? Have you seen clearly an improvement, or are you looking at the same guy that brings a few flashes?
Maybe a little bit more consistent. To me, right now, I feel good that the Dolphins have themselves a good, solid number two quarterback, better than they've had since Teddy Bridgewater, who couldn't stay healthy.
So last question on those two quarterbacks. We know Malik isn't a 10 out of 10, but let's just sit him at a 10 out of 10 scale, right? Where is Quinn Ewers on that scale?
Compared to Malik. So Malik is a 10. Where would you put Quinn?
6.5, 7.
Oh, Jesus. Then what are we talking? Why are all these people making it seem like Quinn needs to be competing? He's playing better and all this and that.
You never heard that from here.
Boy, propaganda out here, man.
You know what propaganda. It is? It's because I think there was one day throughout all OTAs where he did better than Malik and everyone took it and blew it up. Yep. Oh, Quinn did better one day and da-da-da. And then for some reason likes to make it seem like Quinn is better. And no, man, it's, you know, the like Alan has said time and time again on this channel, Leak has certain intangibles that make him better than Quinn Ewers with his mobility, with his arm strength, with his ability to, you know, play off script. So
here's what I would say is my strong feeling is, and this is something that applied to Tua, with Ewers, the window between his worst performance and his best performance is much smaller than Malik.
Mm.
But the how high the window goes a lot higher with Malik.
Mm-hmm.
Because then Malik, for all of his physical gifts, there are times when I look at Malik's footwork when he throws certain passes and it's like, yeesh.
Mm. Mm.
But is it true that Malik doesn't tend to give you 5 performances though? His bad performances are like 6.5.
But we don't know. I'm just based on my observation of the way he throws the ball that I could see that the possibility for a clunker is there. Whereas Ewers might have some bad days and it could, but I don't think his bad days are going to be the result. Either he's trying to force a throw, is making a bad decision here or there. But I think is more consistent, is going to be more consistent from one game to another than Malik, but the ceiling is just not even.
So essentially, Quinn Ewers is safer, right? He's like the safer quarterback, whereas you have Malik, who is the flashy guy who is more dynamic, I guess you could say. Like Malik is more dynamic, Quinn is safe, right? He's not going to run out of the pocket and throw some crazy pass and win you the game or lose you the game. Whereas
Quinn correct. Ewers need team wins. Malik can go take a few.
Precisely.
Got it.
There you go. There you go, everybody. Let's get to some.
Tua couldn't do neither. Okay, I got it. All right. Never mind.
The big green dragon with a $10 donation. He said, "Hi, fellas. Love the show. Question for Poop. Been loving the Stanley Cup Finals. I'm a Canes fan. Do you think Carolina wins Sunday, or will the series go to 7? Thanks."
It's over. Carolina's gonna and they were the best teams. They did have an easy path in the East. I'm not gonna lie, but again, this is a team been knocking on the door. Like they've been in the Eastern Conference Final 3 of the past 4 years. They finally broke through. I like Brenda Moore as a guy when I was covering the NHL for NHL.com. So zero problem with that result. And yes, I think the series is over Sunday.
There you go. RS, member for 5 months, he said, "Can DJ Campbell be the Jordan Phillips on the O-line?" That's a good question. Because Jordan Phillips was drafted 5th round?
Yeah.
He's doing pretty well.
Too early to tell because we didn't get to see the physicality of the offensive lineman. I do say he looks the part, but Jonas Avainaya is going to be given every chance and then some more to be the starting right guard. So it could be the Campbell's
backup.
There's a lot in life as a backup if he makes the 53.
Have you seen anything from Jonah to show that he is progressing, or is it again no pads so you can't even really notice anything?
And generally speaking, based on where we're sitting, he's the right guard. So whatever pass protection work was done in 11 on 11s, I had guys in my way, so I wasn't able to focus on him. So I couldn't tell you.
Because they were going this way and you were looking at him this way? I guess you could say. You were looking at the left tackle.
They're generally speaking, going from my right to my left, more yeah. often than not. So
so he's on the opposite side.
And despite the fact, mind you, every teammate and coach is talking about the big difference, because now that Jonah's on the right side, and this is where I tell you, of course they're going to say that.
But it's interesting that some players are emphasizing the fact that, man, you can tell the difference. Almost like, yeah, he did suck on the left, but it's different now. That makes me believe it a little more, though.
Or it's their code for, damn, was he bad last
year. Yeah, I was going to say, you know, if you're that bad, anything is better than what you did last year. So it's like, hey, he's better. He's looking better on that side.
I always look, whenever it comes to this, I never react when a player comments after being asked specifically about another player. Because it's like, again, you're putting him on the spot. What else is he going to say? Mm-hmm. Now, when folks volunteer stuff that wasn't asked, that's when I pay more attention.
There you go. Shout out to Mike with the $20 donation. He said, I live in Vegas, going to fly to Miami for training camp for a week. Omar Poop, what week of camp should I go for the best bang for my buck? Love you guys as usual. Also, any of you cooking coming to Vegas week one, want to get some picks? Me personally, as a fan that went and got the honor to sit with the gentleman, Alan, I don't know if you watch any of my videos, but I put that picture in my intro. So your picture, your beautiful face is in my intro. You go during a joint practice. Definitely go during a joint practice.
Bingo.
Now, if you're covering the team like I was, I went for both because, God, covering the team on a joint practice, again, shout out to Alan and to Omar and to all the guys, because it is a lot when they are joint practice. Like, I'm not kidding you, the first training camp I went, I got to, again, the honor of sitting with the beat guys, and it was for the joint practice, I think for Washington, when the fight poured into the dome. And they just help each other because it's so much. You have correct. The defense on the backfield. You have the offense on the front field. And it's just – so certain guys take offense, and it's a lot. So if you're covering the team, try to go to both. But me personally, pick a joint week. But, Alan,
I would say the start of the second week, the first full week, which is usually when pads come on, would be – if you're going to go straight training camp, and then I would go with Doug. And this year would be your joint practice is going to be August 20th, Thursday, August 20th with against the New York Giants. So that would be a week I would shoot for.
It's fun. It's a lot of fun. You go see a lot of action. You're muted, TD.
We already have.
Good.
We already have the date for that.
It's always 2 days before the game, because on the Friday it's walkthroughs, they don't practice.
And then Saturday.
No team's flying a day earlier for a joint practice. So it's always going to be 2 days before the game is when you're going to have. If there's only one joint practice, that's it. It's not official yet, but I'm telling you that's what the logic says. Just like for when they play Washington on 14th, your joint practice.
12th. Yeah. Uh-oh. TD's favorite person. Leno TV. TD, your lips, it's orange and teal with Malik Willis below must have came in the mail. But Alan, how is the Finns D-line looking? Doesn't see them getting good.
Well, by D-line, because right now the Dolphins like list their D-line minutes, the interior guys as opposed to the edge guys, if you might be also considered defensive end, but the interior of the defensive line, you get 3 second-year players, and the hope is that all of them make a big jump in year two, at least one of them, whether it be Grant Phillips or Biggers. Sealer is a good player. I got off to a slow start last year. I would be cautiously optimistic about that group. The edge defender position, as I've addressed, a major concern there.
Will they be able to stop the run? Like, obviously, they probably have a hard time getting after the quarterback, because right now we don't know who the pass rushers are. But since we have the big guys and we're seeing more from Biggers and Phillips, do you think they'll have a better chance of stopping the run, or it's about the edge setting?
Well, that's a big part of it. I like Jordan Phillips as a run stopper in the middle of the line. I don't know that Kenneth Grant was necessarily fabulous in that area last year. or the other guys they had, Benito Jones and Matthew Butler is back for a second go around. So, no, it remains to be seen.
You know, hey.
We'll get to Crazy Dolphin because he wants to know our opinions on Juju Brents. I think we're all in the same realm that he's talented. He just got to stay healthy.
All I need him to do is be Jack Jones from last year.
I think he's got a higher ceiling than that.
I agree.
He can play. I did like something like my mini camp winners or whatever. I made him like a mini camp winner or a spring winner just for the fact that he was out there every day. That's a big win.
Pretty much.
So hold on. With Chris Johnson and Juju Brents, do you feel like this cornerback, those two, could be better than the two starters from last year?
So he essentially asked, could Juju Brents and Chris Johnson be better than the starters we had last year? It's going to be hard to deceive Rasul Douglas. He was good. He was like a top 10 corner last year. So I don't know if they'll be better, but
let's just say I, again, it's still a question mark. Maybe I feel a little bit better than I did before, but based on what I saw in the spring, but again, they're going against a group of wide receivers that really do not have anybody special.
They're not going against Hill and Waddle, where you really were able to see that. Haven't heard much from Storm Duck. How's he doing? He's injured right now.
Still rehabbing from the torn ACL from October last year against Atlanta. And in fact, Jeff Hafley said he would, because he was asked for a timetable, whether there was a concern he might not be ready for the start of training camp. And he didn't answer that question, nor should we expect him to. But he said, I wish he was further along. Him and Darrell Baker Jr., the guy they signed from Tennessee who started a lot of games, also never saw him in the spring. Don't know exactly what his injury is. I don't recall him being injured at the end of last year. So those are two guys who
are that's why they had 12 corners on the team. You never know with these guys. Yeah. But we're going to get out of here. Everyone's having technical difficulties except for me and Alan. This is the me and Alan show today. Go check out Alan, Miami Dolphins on SI. Check out Omar Kelly, who was at a field trip with his daughter on the Miami Herald. Go check him out. TD Fins Talk, youtube.com/TD Fins Talk. You could check me out, youtube.com/Dougley Do Wrong. We are going to twice a week next week for the next couple weeks because, again, there's nothing to really talk about because they're taking a break. So we'll let you guys know. What'd you say?
We'll find something.
We always do. Like today, we found something. Noel B, before we get out of here, said TD seems technically challenged today. Everyone's a little technical challenge. But we will see you guys next week. And we have a new format also being incorporated. So a lot of fun stuff going on. But we will see you next week. Peace.